Okay, thanks for being here this morning. Today is a little bit of a unique service. Faith Bible Church is an elder-led church. We vote on very few things around here, so we're a little bit of a combination, hybrid, congregational, elder-led church. But basically, since the people in the pew vote with their presence and with their money, we acknowledge the reality that your wants and desires matter. And so we have an annual meeting where people in the congregation give some input and vote on a budget that guides the rest of our ministry for the year. And so we do have a congregational aspect to our church government. Outside of voting on, and there's a couple other things. You can read the Constitution to find out, calling a pastor and so on. Outside of those things, Faith Bible Church is elder-led, and the day-to-day decisions are made by a group of elders. I am an elder. Andy is an elder, but we are in submission to the board. I'm not the chairman of the elder board. I don't call meetings. The elders of the church oversee the affairs of the church, and I submit to them. And so when we elect elders, we're doing the very best we can to try to model the pattern that has been given to us in the scripture for how to run a church. And so I'm going to take a few minutes to talk a little bit about some priorities of elders from the scripture. And then we're going to have a time of laying on of hands for Brad and Ross as soon as that's over. So before I start, to begin, I want to give you some biblical terminology regarding elders. I probably need a Bible. So there's three primary Greek words that are used to describe leaders in churches. And so I'll give them to you in this order. The first one is presbyteros. It sounds like presbyter or Presbyterian. And the way that that is normally translated is elder, presbyteros. The second word is episkopos, and you get episcopal from that, and that means overseer. And then the third word is poimen, and that word means shepherd. And so I'll go ahead and tell you now, in our tradition, the role of pastor is somehow a very, very significant church leadership role in our culture. I don't have a problem with that. I just have to give you the bad news that that word is found nowhere in the New American Standard Bible, not a single time. It's found nowhere in the ESV. Y'all are going to freak out. The word pastor is not in your Bible unless you have an ESV, and then you find it one time in Ephesians 4:11. I'm saying, why am I telling you that? I'm not to burst your bubble, but to just let you know, whatever you think of when you think of pastor, it's mostly something that we've concocted, not something that we derive from the scriptures. What language does the Bible use to describe church leadership? It uses these words: elder, overseer, and shepherd. And so, over and over, if you start studying church leadership, you'll see these words connected in the same passage and used interchangeably. And this text that I want us to look at this morning is no different. All three of our words appear in this text, and it gives us a sweet little insight into some priorities that God has for elders. And so if you'll look in Acts, I might need, I know the verse, it's 17. It's around that chapter. It's where he's saying, for the when he calls for the Ephesian elders. So when someone finds that, just shout it out to me, the chapter. I think it's around 17, 8. What is it, Dean? 19. Acts 19. And I'm going to just read a few verses at a time. I'll read the first 10 verses because we can cover those quickly. And then I'll slow it down just a little bit. Acts 19, beginning in verse 17. Hold on, Dean. It's not 19. That is Ephesus, but it's on his way to Jerusalem. So he's on, when he's on his way to Jerusalem, he calls for the elders of the church. 20. Is it 20? Thank you. 17. 2017. So I'll begin there. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying." Now just look back at those words: declaring, teaching, testifying, both to Jews and to Greeks, of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going up to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So it's a long passage. I'll summarize it briefly like this. Paul's on his way to Jerusalem. When he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested, and then he's going to be tried, and he's going to end up in Rome to testify before Nero. On his way to Jerusalem, he has this sense from the Lord that this is his last time, that he's going to have a chance to spend time with his elders. These elders in Ephesus, they come to Miletus to meet him. And in these verses, Paul just reminds them of his teaching that was focused on repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And over he uses all these words for speaking. His job was testifying to the gospel of the grace of God and proclaiming the kingdom of God. For Paul, the whole counsel of God is wrapped up in the idea of the grace of Christ and the kingdom of Christ. So he spends time with them, and he reminds them of his message. And you can tell as you listen to it that the focus of his ministry among them was that of teaching, preaching, proclaiming, testifying to the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he informs them that they'll never see him again. So this is his last goodbye. And he wants to leave them with some final words. So this is the part that's most relevant to us today as we ordain new elders. Look at verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. So remember, who did he send for? The what of the church? Elders. And now when he's talking to these elders, he calls them what? Overseers. And so what does he say to these elders and these overseers? The first thing he says to them is so important for Brad and Ross as they enter into this ministry, and that is pay careful attention to yourself. So it's easy when you get entrusted with a big responsibility and an important responsibility that you start sort of looking only outward. And it's funny that the very first thing he says is don't do that. Look inward. You got to pay careful attention to yourselves. Basically, this is a command to you guys to continue to grow spiritually and that your own spiritual growth is a priority. And elders need to take that very seriously, the very first thing he tells them. Then, after pay careful attention to yourself, he says, pay careful attention to all the flock. And so, it's good if an elder is growing spiritually, but if only he's growing spiritually and he's not pouring into others to help them grow spiritually, well, then he's not doing his job as an overseer. He can't really do one without the other. These two things go together. You have to pay close attention to yourself, and you have to pay close attention to the flock. But then he gives us almost a throwaway line that is, in my mind, incredibly significant. He says, not of which I have made you overseers. Paul appointed elders in Ephesus. He doesn't say which I've made you overseers. He said, who made you overseers? He says, the Holy Spirit. And this is the way that the elders of Faith Bible Church have tried to go about our business. We don't even necessarily believe that we're in the business of appointing elders. We have appointed them. I'm not denying responsibility for it, but I'm saying there's something more important going on underneath that. And so when we appoint elders, we don't actually go looking for elders per se. We look around to see who the Holy Spirit has already appointed to be an elder. And when we identify people who are operating already as elders in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we say, okay, Lord, and we try to ratify his decision. Elders are not appointed by the church. They're not appointed by men. They're appointed by the Holy Spirit. And so the way that we do that is by trying to watch and see where the Holy Spirit is at work and whose life. And when we see it, we try to recognize that. And that's what we're doing today. We're recognizing the fact that God has raised up Ross and that God has raised up Brad to be elders here at Faith Bible Church. And then he says, tells them to care for the flock. This word care for is translated in some of your versions as shepherd. And guess what the Greek word is? Poimen, which means shepherd. So see, he's called these elders to meet him. Then he says, the Holy Spirit made you overseers. And now he gives them this responsibility, the responsibility of shepherding the flock. All three of these words coalesce into this one ministry that at Faith Bible Church we call elders. You can call them all, and say, if you wanted one word to describe them all, the word I would pick would be pastor. But maybe elder's better. I don't care. The language doesn't matter to me. I just want us to understand the thought world behind all three of these words and how they fit together. Feed. Now, some people think of shepherding primarily as like fixing broken legs and stuff, and I'm sure that that happens for a shepherd. But, you know, guess what the main thing a shepherd has to do? You got to feed. Super hungry. They like to eat. They don't eat a lot. They don't put on weight. And they don't grow wool. I mean, the job of a shepherd is feeding. Now, it's not the only thing, but that is the primary job of a shepherd. And so, in some churches, the job of elder is primarily being a boss and telling other people what to do. And we reject that notion of eldership at Faith Bible Church completely. It's not about being a boss. It's about feeding. And every elder at Faith Bible Church is responsible for bringing the word of God to the people of God. In the church, we don't live by bread and we don't live by hay and grass. We live by the word of God. The word of God is the food that we deliver to the people of God, and it is our primary obligation. When the scripture says, shepherd the flock, it basically means you make sure they have a good diet. Elder, overseer, shepherd, all of these roles fit together here at Faith Bible Church, and it's one position with multiple responsibilities. Now look at 29 through 31. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish every one of you with tears. So he says to care for the flock, and then there in 29 through 31, he gives this warning. Paul's very, very concerned about false teachers. And there'll be people that say twisted things, and they'll draw away disciples. And he's commanding the elder and the overseer and the shepherds to be on guard against twisted men and twisted doctrine. And the antidote, there's a surefire antidote for false teaching. Paul alludes to it there in 31. He says, I didn't cease night or day to admonish you. What he's saying is, as this false doctrine came up, what did I do? I admonished you. I kept telling you the truth in the face of this false doctrine. I kept telling you the truth. So now, but he gives the surefire antidote to false teaching in verse 32. And here's what he says. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So the antidote to false teaching, it's the word of his grace. It's the word of God that expresses to us the grace that has come to us in Jesus Christ. So how do you deal with false teachers? Well, it's not about having a big fight with them. It's about proclaiming the truth in opposition to their lies. He doesn't even just say the word of God. What does he say? The word of his what? Grace. The primary way in which the enemy would like to destroy the people of God is by giving some sort of alternative to the word of grace. And so we commit ourselves over and over and over to the word of grace. And if you have conversations with elders, you will see us going back to the grace of Jesus Christ over and over and over. It's our touchstone. And so we're committed to the word of his grace, and we're committed to it. Why? Because Paul says it'll do three things for you. The word of his grace will build you up. Some people think if you focus on grace that you really won't grow, that you'll just be a weak Christian forever. And you got to add a lot of rules and regulations to it if you ever really want to grow. That's wrong. The word of his grace, actually, it's the word of his grace that builds us up. Not only that, the word of his grace gives us an inheritance. If you're working for your inheritance, we want to delicately and strongly tell you, you're doing it wrong. You can't earn your inheritance because it comes from the word of grace. Your inheritance will always be a gift. And then finally, the word of his grace produces a holy, sanctified people. That's good news. And where no other word does, only the word of grace is going to produce a holy, sanctified people. So we press in to the grace of God that is ours in Jesus Christ, knowing that it does these things. And elders of Faith Bible Church are responsible to be committed to the word of his grace. There are some things that we can back off on around here. There's a lot of things in which Faith Bible Church elders don't have an opinion. But we have an opinion on grace, and we're not backing down on it. And then look at 33 through 35. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul's final appeal is in part to his own example. He says that he was not covetous and that he offered a sacrificial service to God's people and wants us to follow his example. So he tells you guys explicitly, work hard. Then he says, help the weak. And then he says, remember the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. See, Paul is telling us to follow his example of sacrificial service. Why? Because he followed Jesus's example of sacrificial service. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There's going to be a lot of moments for you as elders where you feel like you're giving and giving and giving and you're getting nothing back. And that's when it's important to remember it's more blessed to give than to receive. We feel like it's more blessed to receive than give, but that's just not true. The place where you experience the blessing of God is the place where you're focused on giving. So, in this little passage, we catch a glimpse of God's priorities for elders. The Holy Spirit chooses elders, not us. And today, as we lay hands on Brad and Ross, we're simply, and in laying on hands, we're setting them apart to a lifetime calling, but we're simply acknowledging what God has done in your lives. We see clear evidence that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and we want to ratify that God's decision today as we anoint you to this ministry. By accepting this calling, you're committing yourselves to grow in Christ yourself and be a disciple of Christ. Look out for yourself. Help others grow in Christ and be a disciple maker. That's looking out for the flock. And whatever you do, protect yourselves and all your disciples from any false teaching that does not flow out of the word of God's grace. Finally, you're committing to work hard, help the weak, and focus on the model of Jesus, who said it's more blessed to give to receive. And what that meant for Jesus was simple. He didn't just give sort of out of his excess. He gave his very self. That's the kind of giving that is blessed. On long nights and hard days, when you're laying down your life for Jesus and for God's flock, I pray that you will never take your eyes off of Jesus and that you will believe him when he tells you it's more blessed to give than to receive. And now a word to elder wives. I want to say a word to Margaret and Jennifer on behalf of the Lord and our entire congregation. I want to say thank you for supporting your husbands as they begin this elder ministry. You two will make great sacrifices for the congregation as you minister alongside your husbands. And you may receive precious little thanks for it. So it's good counsel for both of you to remember the words of Jesus as well. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And it's hard for me to imagine a role where you receive less than that of being an elder's wife. So be blessed. Okay, we're gonna do laying on of hands. And if my elder team, if you'll kind of line up, I think maybe over there, let's use that row right there. So, Dean, if you'll lead the way and go over there. And then most of y'all who are coming to pray are going to kind of come around and line up, but we'll have the line going that direction. And we start with our elders as they pray over these guys. And I just, quick word about what this laying on of hands is: an ancient biblical tradition. It goes all the way back to the time of Joshua and Moses. And as Moses was retiring, he and people laid hands on Joshua to set him apart. And y'all aren't following my instruction. y'all have to do what I tell you. I know that y'all are my bosses, but I always tease the chairman of the elder board. We call it herding cats, as you can see. Thank God for those men. Okay, so two things are happening. One is, whenever you lay hands on someone, you're setting them apart. It's a consecration, so they're being set apart. But the second thing, especially as our elders come through to pray for them, they're literally imparting a spiritual authority and a spiritual gift by the laying on of hands. This is what the scriptures teach. And so this is a significant time as these men bring them into our body and they set them apart for that, and then pronounce a blessing on them as well. And so I'm gonna help y'all get squared away here. I need to want you to come, Ross, about right here. And Brad, if you'll come about right here. Okay, y'all, this is hard because it hurts to be in the position they're gonna be in for a long time. And so if they wear out, we'll just take a quick little break. I'll move a chair in here for them to sit in a chair, and we'll just keep the prayer time going. But don't feel bad if you request a chair. It's not not an Iron Man performance. If it starts hurting, get a chair. Should we flip to say who calls it for? Okay, it's really important. I don't want you distracted by it being hurt. Okay, y'all can go ahead and kneel down. And then as soon as our elders have come through here, and you can even start lining up now, there are many others in the congregation who would want to pray a prayer over them and pray a prayer of blessing and pronounce a blessing over them as they begin their elder ministry. And so the end of the line is open, and I'm gonna start us off with just a little word of prayer, and then Dean, you will begin to lay hands on them. Father, thank you so much for this time that we have together. Thank you for the way that you look after your church, and we praise you for appointing elders, men after your own heart, who will love and serve your people. And so we give you this time and we pray that you will use it for your honor and for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all can go. Just want to introduce your newest elders. This is Brad Aldis and Ross McFadden. And thank you so much for being a part of this ordination service. Really glad that you came. Just stay here for a second. Some people might want to come up here and catch you and shake your hand that didn't pray over you. I want to bless y'all in the name of the Lord. Thank you again so much for being here for this special service. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or even imagine, according to his power at work in you, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. Amen. You are dismissed.